and open again to Ephesians chapter 5. And without much review, I want to pick up right where we left off. Still considering what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Knowing that that filling with the Spirit is necessary to have a song. It's necessary to be a thankful Christian. And the filling of the Spirit is necessary if we expect to be a submissive spirit, a submissive Christian, submissive to that Spirit who lives in us. And as we yield to Him, fills us. And when we left off this morning, we were considering that continuous aspect of being filled day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. It's a continuous thing of yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, yielding to His will. And I said this filling is more than just filling something to its capacity. You know, this bottle will only hold so much water and then it's full. And after that, well, it runs over. It can only hold so much. That filling of the Spirit is different from that. And I gave this analogy this morning. That word, that thought, that concept is applied to wind filling the sails. And that sail filled with the wind is what drives, what moves the ship across the water. And how important that was before steam engines and then diesel engines and now nuclear-powered ships and so forth. They depended on the wind. If they didn't have the wind, they didn't go. And they could find themselves for days, weeks at a time, just stranded with no wind, waiting for the wind to fill their sails and drive them. And that filling of the Spirit is what we need to move us along. That needs to be what energizes us, what drives us in our Christian life. It's not willpower. It's not habit. You know, we think if I can just get into the habit of not flying off the handle. It's more than that. We have to be filled with the Spirit, to be driven by the Spirit. But that also carries the idea of penetrating or saturating something. Something being filled with. Like when meat is salt cured or sugar cured. Isn't the idea that it's packed in that substance, that it's packed in salt, and salt saturates, salt permeates the meat, and it flavors and preserves it. So that idea is that God wants us to be saturated. The Spirit of God just permeating our lives. We're saturated with Him and so that we're thinking His thoughts. God wants to so saturate our lives so that everything we do, everything that we say, everything that we even think reflect His presence. That we acknowledge His presence in all that we say and do. That's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You know, there's something very humbling and sobering about that verse, that the meditation of my heart is in His sight. We need to think about that once in a while. Remember that once in a while. The meditation of my heart, the imaginations of my heart, those thoughts that I think are in His sight. They're open to Him. And so to be filled with the Spirit is not only have our sails filled and we're driven by the force of the Spirit of God who lives in us. It's to be so saturated with the Spirit of God and His Word that our lives are, we're just soaking up His Word. And we're preserved by it. And we're flavored by it. And everything we do is a reflection of that. But then this third concept of being filled is where we really get off the bus. This word we say, stop and let me off. It has to do with control. Control. Have you thought that about the fact that you can be controlled by many things? I mentioned it to Gail, I'm sure you overheard, but this morning during the offertory, she was playing Always the Same. We've sung it. Chrissy has sung it. As a special, we sing it as a congregation. She plays it, but as I usually do, I was sort of whisper singing along with what she was playing and was just, I don't know why, but was suddenly touched by, emotionally, that song. Always the Same. I'm His and He is mine. Jesus knows my name. Those words, just thinking through those words, and I was momentarily controlled by it. Just filled with something, some kind of emotion from that song. You can be filled with sorrow. You can be filled with grief. And I'm talking here about something that at least momentarily controls you. You can be filled with anger. Now we call it losing our temper. Well, I'm just made that way. I just have a bad temper and I can lose my temper. No, you're not filled with the Spirit. That's what it is. Not just you can fly off the handle, you can lose your temper. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit has the idea of control. People can be filled with fear to the point they're controlled by it. I'm saying filled with anger, so they're controlled. They just lose control and snap and do things. Do violence. Filled with those things. We can be filled with any number of things that can dominate and control us. And the idea here to be, the command here to be filled with the Spirit is to be dominated and controlled by the Spirit of God who lives in us. And we could look at any number of biblical characters who exemplified that for us. But the best example is the Lord Jesus, who being equal with God, yet took upon Himself, made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant. He became a servant. And we know that He was filled with the Spirit. To the point that even though He was one with the Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit one, He yielded to the control of the Spirit. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we read the account of His temptation in the wilderness. And Matthew 4:1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was led of the Spirit. And Luke is the one who adds the detail in his account in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led. Jesus, in His humanity, was full of the Holy Ghost. And being full of the Holy Ghost, He yielded to the control of that Holy Ghost. And He was led as He was controlled. Now we throw that term around, God led me, I was led. We should be careful how we use that. Now Mark states it a little bit differently with an even stronger emphasis on this domination by the Spirit. We're to be dominated by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God. And Jesus gave us that example. Mark chapter 1 verse 12, Mark says, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led. He was controlled. He was driven. His sail was filled with that pushing of the Holy Spirit. Now, it was not that He resisted and had to be driven. Now, come on, driving Him against His will. Don't we know from another account in the Gospels that He came to do His Father's will. He didn't come to do His own will. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And He said, I come to do Thy will. So that driving wasn't that He had to be, ha, ha, driven. It was He gave the Spirit control. And the Spirit handled the controls. The Spirit took the wheel. He was full of the Spirit, so He was controlled by the Spirit. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need the Spirit as the force that drives us. What are the different things that motivate us to try and live the Christian life? To try and treat people well? To try and do good? Sometimes our motives are selfish or even carnal. But our motive ought to be, because we're filled with the Spirit is leading and the Spirit is driving. The Spirit is controlling. The Spirit is empowering. And He will as we're filled with the Spirit. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, anything for eternity, anything of spiritual value, we have to be filled with the Spirit. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. Isn't that what one of our hymns? Isn't that a line from a hymn? Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. I don't do this often, but I brought an illustration. Can you see what these are from there? These are work gloves. A pair of my work gloves. My favorite pair at this time. My old favorite pair, I believe it was the index finger was worn through, so I could still get a splinter or something in my index finger. And these are called work gloves. But I can't just toss these out and say, now go get the post hole diggers. We're going to reset the mailbox. That's what I did a couple of weeks ago. Now go get the post hole diggers and dig a hole. You know what? These are good, and they're good, sturdy leather work gloves. But what? Oh, yeah. No. They have to be filled before they're any good. Before they can do any work. Before they can accomplish anything. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we have to be filled. We can accomplish no more for God without the Spirit's control than a pair of work gloves that are not filled by a hand. Anything we do manage to do in the flesh for selfish reasons, anything we do manage to accomplish, that's that wood, hay, and stubble that Paul wrote about. And it'll be burned up when it's tried by fire. Living in the flesh, even doing good deeds for carnal reasons, without that leading of the Spirit and empowering of the Spirit, is of no spiritual value. Now I want us to look at several things, several examples in the New Testament, mainly in the book of Acts, about this filling and the importance of being filled with the Spirit and serving the Lord, living for the Lord. You know, that's the good thing about starting a sermon in the morning and finishing in the evening. In the afternoon, you can see where you need to, you know, back up and try, you know, go back over something or add something in. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. When the church at Jerusalem needed men to sort of free up the apostles for the very important work of prayer and the ministry of the word. The apostles had gotten tied up in serving. Not that they felt it was beneath them, but they were having to take time from prayer and take time from the ministry of the word to do some of those things. And so when the church saw the need to find men to step in and help, they chose men like Stephen. Read in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. The saying pleased the whole multitude. When they had said, let's choose out men and we'll give ourselves to this work, it pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You know what? Any of the work Any of the work in the ministry, any of the work around God's work requires people who are filled with the Spirit. People with servants' hearts, and that takes the filling of the Spirit. People who are willing to do things behind the scenes sometimes without recognition. They chose men full of the Holy Ghost. Now, Stephen is the example they gave here. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenes and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch. But think about Stephen for a minute. He specifically was a man full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, to the point that in chapter 7, read chapter 7 in the book of Acts, verse 54. As Stephen has spoken up for the Lord, he was able to do that because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He preached the word. In verse 54 says that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, it was because he was full of the Holy Ghost that he was willing to be bold and speak for the Lord. And as he faced death, as he faced martyrdom because of his testimony, still, full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Stephen was a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit does something to us. It does something to our goals and our motivations. It removes from us and removes us from the desires and the goals and the fears of this very system of this lost and dying world. And it gives us the right vision of God. I've preached a number of times from Isaiah chapter 6 on our vision of God. Our vision of God puts everything else in focus. If our vision of God is not right, our vision, our view of this world won't be right. That's why so many Christians are so wrong and take such unbiblical positions on some of the issues of our day. It's not just because they're liberal and we're conservative. There's something wrong with their vision of God. And their vision of God causes their perspective of these current issues to be unbiblical. And in some cases, actually wicked and sinful. Being filled with the Spirit gives us that vision of God. As we're filled with the Spirit and we have that right vision of God, everything else becomes secondary or of no importance at all as we're filled with the Spirit. Still in the book of Acts, turn back to chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, consider Peter. It says of him in chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter..." Now remember, he was present in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and he was there when the believers were indwelt by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And it says of him here in chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now that sounds a little more bold than the fella the day Jesus was being tried, doesn't it? That was hidden and meek and afraid. But now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's filled with the Spirit, and so he's bold in his witness for the Lord. Turn to back to Acts chapter 9. Let's think about Paul, or Saul at this point. Saul in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus. Determined and zealous to stop this movement of followers of Jesus Christ. But the Lord came to him on the road to Damascus as he carried basically arrest warrants to drag believers into prison. But it says in chapter 9, verse 17, after he's met the Lord, Ananias went his way and entered into the house. He's been sent to meet Saul. He went into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you think about the Apostle Paul and what he accomplished for the Lord, what he suffered for the Lord, and kept going in the ministry, kept going in the path that brought his suffering, knowing that he was in the will of God through that suffering and in that suffering. The church is founded, the soul saved. Not to mention that most of the New Testament is written by him under the inspiration of that Holy Spirit who filled him. That would not have been possible without this filling. If he hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, he couldn't have accomplished what he did for the Lord. And as we turn the page to Acts chapter 11, again, when the church needed a man to help, we already considered back in chapter 6, they needed help for the apostles to allow them to dedicate themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word when they needed a man to help with the ministry to the Gentiles. Read in chapter 11, verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And then go down to verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. They sought a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid the churches today look for someone who's talented, someone with the gift of gab, someone with the right looks and the right degrees and the right this and the right that. When the first thing that should be sought is people filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 13, verse 9. Chapter 13 in Acts, verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. In verse 52 in the same chapter, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You know, I've mentioned to you how that every week, without fail, I get something either in the mail or the email or some robocall now. On my cell phone. They've got something to help you grow your church. I mean, they can give you example after example of people who used this program and went from 50 to 500 in 3 days. Well, maybe 3 weeks, but they just got the program, man. They've got the gimmick. They've got the product. They've got the plan. We don't need a new plan. We don't need better methods. You know what? We don't even need to read the book of Acts and see what were their methods. What were their physical methods? Well, we read about house to house and door to door, daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to preach Jesus. But you know what we really see in the book of Acts that we must have to do the work of the Lord? The filling of the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Spirit. We need this filling of the Holy Spirit that they had. The submission to the control of the Holy Spirit. As we allow His control, as we allow Him to fill us, He'll do the work using us. As we allow Him to fill our sails, He'll do His work. Now that's what it means to be filled. But what about the means of being filled? How are we filled? We'll get into that as we go forward. But right now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's again commit ourselves to the Lord to be filled with His Spirit. Our Father, we thank You for the Scriptures that tell us about these individuals who were filled. And Lord, help us to take seriously this command to be filled. As we read in that letter to the Ephesians of all that Paul challenged them and us concerning the Christian life, we realize that we must have the filling of the Holy Spirit to drive us, to control us. And so, Lord, help us to yield to that control. In the name of our Lord Jesus and for the eternal honor and glory of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.